I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Agricultural Programming from Illinois Public Media. In studio with us, Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, to talk about this morning's USDA crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Which number dropped out at you as the most important of the two reports?
Well, to me, in terms of my expectation, is the corn yield number that probably stood out at 165 bushels. That wasn't too far above the average trade guess, maybe fairly close to the average trade guess, but was certainly well above what I expected to see, and maybe not so much in this report, but as a final yield estimate. So the really large corn crop stood out to me. Obviously, that's right now being offset by expectations that we will use that big crop during the coming year because of a continued strong domestic demand and growing exports of corn. So even though we have prospects for a huge corn crop, USDA is projecting a drop in inventories by the end of the 2010 marketing year.
The University of Illinois model showed a much smaller crop. You released some of those numbers earlier in the week. They've made their way across the countryside. Yeah. Many are talking about that 158 to 160. What's the difference, and tell me about the model?
Well, first of all, you say it's kind of ironic that our models worked exceptionally well for soybeans. We were almost dead on the USDA number with our soybean model, but the corn model came in well below USDA's August forecast. And if you look at the details of our model, corn yields get penalized with too much rain in June, which we had this year, and they get penalized with above normal summer temperatures, which we've had June, July, and August, all 3 months above average temperature. So based on historical relationships between those weather variables and yield, the model penalized the forecast this year quite a bit. It appears that it maybe was an over-penalization of that, but it also suggests that we might see USDA's final yield number a bit lower than the current 165. I think August has not been ideal for development of the corn crop, and with the data collected for USDA's August number, 10, 12 days old, it does leave room for that number to come down a bit. I would be surprised if it would come all the way down to our number, but maybe we could see 2 or 3 bushels shaved off of that before it's said and done.
Many in the business, many producers are now, they're feeling fairly bullish, the corn and the bean market for that matter. Much of that has to do with the export problems of wheat out of Russia. Well, there's been a fairly good rally in that marketplace. Do you think that is their bullishness misplaced, or should it be that way at this point?
No, I think bullishness is probably justified given the demand prospects that we have. I mean, I think what the current balance sheet suggests is that we can hold corn prices, at or above current levels. I'm not sure it points to substantially higher prices, but it does suggest that we can maintain these higher price levels, particularly in the corn and wheat markets for now. You would have to argue that the balance sheet on face value is not all that supportive for soybean prices with some buildup in inventory. Still, when we're kind of the only country around of the major exporters that have supply this year, that puts us in pretty good shape.
You, in the first quarter of this year, told us that you thought China would be back in the market for soybeans by the time we rolled around to fall. Did you expect to see them quite this early?
Well, it is a bit surprising. I mean, given the size of the South American crop, that they are still buying quite a bit of U.S. soybeans. And, of course, we have seen them enter the corn market as well. So I think just Chinese demand in general continues to be surprisingly strong.
Yeah, and is that a peg that you'd like to hang higher prices on?
I think it's potentially that. USDA is still not forecasting huge corn imports by China, although some in the private sector think it will eventually happen, if not this year, then within the near future, that China will need some corn from the U.S. And even if that's a relatively modest 200 or 300 million bushels at the margin, I think that makes a lot of difference. it does suggest that we're going to have to continue to expand corn acres a bit here in the U.S. To keep up with near-term growth in domestic demand coming from the ethanol industry and also a potential for some growth in exports.
When we started the rally, the big rally or the change in the marketplace, 07, 08, maybe earlier than that, we talked about new plateaus. Your suggestion was 350 to 550 with 450 as a mid-range point. USDA has 410 on the top side for the coming crop. Do you think we can make 450? Is that plateau range correct, or is it lower?
You know, I think the range is correct. In hindsight, you would have to say maybe using the midpoint of around $4.50 corn has turned out to be too optimistic. And in my mind, part of that is associated with the economic downturn that we've seen since we put those forecasts together. We kind of assumed at that point that the world economies would remain robust, and that would add to the strength of demand for agricultural commodities. As it's turned out, that has not been the case. And so if we do get back into more strength in the U.S. and world economies, then I think prices routinely above $4 is probably where we're at.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.